The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. I think we have all of the amplification issues worked out. Thank you, Bill. He always does early morning checks, so something went a little bit wacky. I had hoped that the readings today would be aimed at those who grieve, some comforting word, because there are so many in this congregation who do. Not only have we had 5 funerals in the past 4 weeks, but there are many who are celebrating the first anniversary of the death of a loved one from last summer in the coming weeks. The readings, however, appointed for today provide comfort, but they're aimed at those who are suffering for their faith. However, perhaps those words of comfort can also provide it in a variety of circumstances. Today, most of the readings reveal that bearing God's word and work will not win us friends in the world. Jeremiah, prophet of warning to a complacently wealthy nation, suffers and kind of asks God about it. And here in the gospel reading, before Jesus sends his disciples to teach and preach, he offers a word of comfort in the face of fear. He says, They're not gonna like me. And since now you are part of my household, you'll also not be liked. You'll be maligned. But don't fear them. The truth, reality, will out in the end. Actually, Jesus addresses what Matthew, the author's community, is already experiencing. What I mean is, when they were written down, for us, these words were description, not prescription. Matthew's gospel was written about 60 years after Jesus died and rose, written for Matthew's community of faith. That is, Matthew selected words and promises of Jesus that would be particularly fitting for his people, as evangelists and preachers have done ever since. Jesus and Matthew lived in a tribe-centered era, so that the religion of the father of the household was the religion for the whole household. if a son or wife or daughter changed religions, they were out of the household, disowned. And if it was a father, they got a lot of grief from the rest of the household, which is what was exactly happening in Matthew's community. And Jesus' words here provide comfort and affirmation to people who already had been disowned for claiming Christ as God's son versus claiming Caesar as God's son, or instead of the God of Abraham, or instead of a particular pagan god. And that might also help us understand the phrase that, to me, on the surface, sounds kind of quid pro quo, tit for tat. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me, I will acknowledge. If you deny me, I'll deny you. Which makes Jesus into the very opposite of the man on the cross, who willingly, in the face of rejection, gets executed in order to bear God's forgiveness and love to us. It's interesting that the word that's translated acknowledged is really the word confess. Those who confess me before others. So we're not talking here about choosing a religion. It's about, rather, confessing what's true and real in life, the meaning of life, God, namely, who is the source and meaning of life. Be honest, Jesus urges. You can't trust that the source of life is a God of unconditional mercy, Jesus, and at the same time claim that it's a God who is at heart about conquering and winning and power, Caesar, or even a God who is about laws and instruction, the God of Abraham, simplified. If you try to claim multiple realities to life, what's true and real, basically what happens is that we remain in control. We really become our own God, choosing for ourselves the meaning of life and what's good and bad and what's real or true, which actually I think, honestly, we do not most of the time, but probably a lot of the time, I think, even as Christians, because the old Adam and Eve is still in there. So first, Jesus reveals the truth about us, reveals how we like to be in charge, to try to pick and choose the ultimate reality in life, who we trust, what we trust. Even making our own family what's most important in life, or the final reality, is one of these gods that Jesus talks about. Because family, in the end, as a sense of eternal security or meaning for life, just doesn't work. Our family dies, or we die, and they're just as broken as we are. Even the best families can't measure up or fulfill our deepest needs or meaning for life or security in life. But then there are those times when we come up against reality, when we come up against life and the world, when we realize how small we are, how random life is, how much evil and sin are in the world, and brokenness, how a man who's about to retire in 2 weeks dies unexpectedly of a heart attack because of some minor health issues that put too much weight on his heart. That's the experience that Jesus is describing here, that Matthew chose to proclaim to his disowned community. See, tucked in the middle of all of this are words of exquisite comfort. You, Jesus says, who experience life as overwhelming and random and broken, the biblical witness to what life is and has always been. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus proclaims that God even cares so much for a commonplace sparrow that it doesn't die alone. They don't fall to the ground apart without God's presence and knowing and care. And you are even much more value to God, who knows you so well that he's aware of even the most minute aspect of you, even the hairs of your head, and still loves you, values you. You are fully known and loved by God. You don't have to be afraid. God gives comfort to those who fear and security to those who are overwhelmed. And love, God gives love to those who are being hated, like Jeremiah and like Matthew's community and Jesus' disciples and like Coptic and Syrian Christians today. Jesus comes to us today through the word and the meal. We may not experience life-threatening risk or hatred for claiming Christianity, but we also know fear and being overwhelmed and not being liked for our faith. Jesus comes to you, to us today, through the word and in the meal, through the witness of our newest brothers and sisters in Christ. Just as Matthew did, and as Philip Melanchthon did 1,500 years later with the Augsburg Confession, we confess today that through Jesus, salvation unto us has come. Jesus brings salvation to you today, healing, salvation, by revealing to us that God will have the final word in the end, a merciful, loving God. And until then, God will hold us in his merciful hands. This we can trust. Amen.